These are the people, the movers and the shakers, the businesses, the people you know in your community who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, News Radio 1020, KDKA.
Hey, good morning, Pittsburgh, and welcome to Pittsburgh Works, the morning edition for this Saturday, November the 9th on KDKA. I am, of course, Rob Pratt, and I'm pleased to welcome our guests from Presbyterian Senior Care. First, I want to introduce Stacey Borneman, Senior Director of Sales and Marketing. And secondly, I want to also welcome Joyce Wagner, Director of Admissions. Stacey, so we begin by, giving us a start of some background on Presbyterian Senior Care. Always a good way to start Pittsburgh Works. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Good to have you here.
Good. Thanks for having us. Yes, and we're excited to be here to talk a little bit more about Presbyterian Senior Care. In today's focus, we did want to talk a little bit about our skilled nursing communities, and we wanted to talk a little bit about how we are a not-for-profit that has been focused on just one thing for more than 85 years. And our main focus is to help seniors live positively. And what drives us is our mission and our commitment to excellence. Our goal is to make sure that older adults age with grace and dignity, and we do this by providing a continuum of services and living options and by investing significantly into our people. We believe that people are what makes the difference between good and great, and every day lives are being enriched and changed positively by our compassionate and well-trained staff and volunteers. People whose dedication to excellence is consistent with our faith-based mission of improving the lives of older adults from all walks of life. You know, your listeners might be surprised to learn that Presbyterian Senior Care is the largest elder care provider in the Pittsburgh region. We're privileged to serve more than 65 older adults in 56 communities at 44 locations and actually across 10 Western Pennsylvania counties.
That's quite a vision when you think about it.
It is. Everybody's actually surprised when I get into the detail of how large we actually are. You know, a lot has changed over the past 8 decades since we began our mission of serving older adults. The older population, particularly in the Pittsburgh region, is just exploding. People are living longer, active, and healthier lives. And our mission compels us to pay attention to these changes. Just as the needs and desires of older adults are changing, at Presbyterian Senior Care, we continue to innovate and to grow to meet those changing needs and desires. Today, we're offering a broad range of care and services of options. So, for instance, we offer personal care and skilled nursing communities. We specialize in Alzheimer's and dementia care. And we actually offer over 35 senior housing communities. And we've premiered here on your show here our continuing care retirement community known as Longwood at Oakmont, and we actually talked a little bit about our home and community-based services as well. But like most of the healthcare system, the aging services part of the system is also fragmented, and it's hard to navigate for all consumers. So we're aiming to change that. Our vision is to be part of a trusted guide for consumers when it comes to the senior living. No matter where home may be for an older adult, it could be in their own home, or it could be in the home of one of our personal care communities or nursing communities.
Well, you know, we keep talking, Stacey, about this vision. So you have a lot of real estate out there and a lot of people that are counting on you. So how are you making this vision become a reality?
Well, we've dedicated ourselves to creating a system of services, and we're continually working to improve the integration of those services. And this is not something we can do alone, Rob, and we believe that collaboration and innovation are absolutely the key to giving consumers what they want. And we've learned that what consumers want the most is a seamless and cost-effective integration of services. It's why Presbyterian Senior Care has and will continue to develop partnerships and alliances with not only physicians and hospitals, but community organizations and other aging services providers. You know, this will allow us, we believe, to address the complete array of mature adult needs from total independence and wellness through the compassionate end-of-life care. One of our partnerships actually is particularly noteworthy to mention, especially at this time, since November is National Hospice Month, is Presbyterian Senior Care has a long-standing collaboration with an organization known as Family Hospice and Palliative Care. Family Hospice and Palliative Care allows us to offer an end-of-life care program called the Woodwell, and this year marks our 10th anniversary with that collaboration.
All right, Stacy Borneman is here, President, Senior Care, Senior Director of Sales and Marketing, and Joyce Wagner, Presbyterian Senior Care Director of Admissions. More of Pittsburgh Works on KDK, just minutes away.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDK.
We are back on Pittsburgh Works. Again, my guest from Presbyterian Senior Care, Stacy Borneman, Presbyterian Senior Care Senior Director of Sales and Marketing, and also Joyce Wagner, Presbyterian Senior Care Director of Admissions. We're going to get back to innovative things that are happening with Presbyterian Senior Care and Stacy in a moment. But Joyce, you and I were talking just before going on the air, and I got this article earlier this week. It was in the Pittsburgh Business Times, one of my favorite local papers, magazines, if you will, October the 25th, talking about rehab getting a whole new look at Presbyterian Senior Care, and everything from made to order breakfasts and flat screen TVs. And it was talking about the story of Bryce Carper, who was in the Plum location, and from the Willows in Oakmont to Southmont in Washington. You really have undergone some upgrades. So let's talk about that for a moment and this great article that was in the Pittsburgh Business Times. Go ahead.
Oh, definitely. Thanks, Rob. We did transform this past year our first floor, or it's called Oak Villa, as we like to refer to it as, and it is a short-term skilled nursing community there. And we transformed it to be much like a hotel. Where our other neighborhoods focus on more home-like living, we decided that people who are there short-term really are not going to settle in like it's their home. Rather, they're there for a comfortable stay, a short stay, to get them back in their homes and doing what they love to do best. So we focused on really a hospitality style in that neighborhood, where you walk in and it's going to look just like a 4 or 5 star hotel with all new amenities and close to our rehab area, so that they don't have far to go. And like you said, flat screen TVs, refrigerators. We had iPads for a while for them. So, and especially someone like Bryce, who is very young and sort of different from our typical population, we really worked hard to make him feel comfortable and active as he could there, all working together as a team to try and make his stay as good as possible as well.
Well, his leg being all bundled up, but his face was ear to ear with a grin, so obviously he's enjoying his stay there. But I do appreciate that, and if you want to check it out, you can go to Pittsburgh Business Times, October 25th, you'll find it. All right, let's get back to Stacy Borneman now and talk about some innovation that is happening as we speak at Presbyterian Senior Care. Stace.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rob. Well, and back on that, kind of the skirt tails of what Joyce was saying, focusing on what we have done and continue to do at our skilled nursing communities. I think that it's important to realize that nursing homes today aren't what maybe people think that they typically once were, as a stereotype, in that it is not the typical institutional places maybe of what we think they once were, of where grandma and grandpap went for the end of their life. It is much different today. And the old-fashioned traditional notion of a nursing home is not what you will find for the most part today at all. And it's certainly not what you will find at our Presbyterian Senior Care skilled nursing communities. Skilled nursing communities look and feel very different today. And they also are beginning to serve a very different purpose. Particularly as our government and all healthcare providers are working hard to eliminate unnecessary cost and reduce duplication of services. I'm going to let Joyce paint a picture of what skilled nursing looks like today. And Joyce has been with Presbyterian Senior Care for 15 years. In fact, she just celebrated this past week her 15-year anniversary. And
oh,
yes,
thank you.
Happy
we're proud to have her. And she is our Director of Admissions at our Oakmont skilled nursing community known as the Willows. And Joyce, I'm going to let you talk a little bit more about how the changing face of skilled nursing communities look today.
Great. Thanks, Stacy. At the Willows in Oakmont, and also at all of our other skilled nursing communities, such as Southmont in Washington and our Hanna Healthcare Center at Longwood, we're really reinventing the notion of nursing homes. Way back in the early 2000s, we started with our communities into a program called Culture Change. And Culture Change really is a shift towards person-centered care. It's a new way of thinking. It's having our residents live positively and encouraging them to live their lives to their fullest with staff who really enjoy assisting them. Culture Change is not only about changing the appearance to feel more like home, but also changing the feeling of our skilled nursing communities. So the residents don't live on a certain floor number, but instead we use the term neighborhood. Every floor or neighborhood has a name, and we even go so far as to designate different households within each neighborhood. This means trying to create basically a feeling of an informal day, how you would have lived your life when you were at home. We want to transfer that into our home as well. So it means doing away with regimentation and the institutional like setting. It even goes so far as to change the language as well. So it's truly rewarding for not only the residents, but also our staff. And as you can imagine, Rob, this is a huge way change in thinking in both the care delivery and the physical environment. It's a journey and a process that really is just never going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really good news for our region. Presbyterian Senior Care has been a leader in this person-centered philosophy for a long time now. So we're well down this path of providing our staff, residents, and their feeling, as families, a feeling of home. It's certainly a dramatic change in the notion of the old nursing home.
You know, Joyce, that certainly begins to create a different picture, and I'm sure the audience would agree, of what nursing homes may be like today. Some of this seems to hinge on changing how employees do, or really how they do their work. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Sure. It's absolutely all about the people. The people make the difference. And at Presbyterian Senior Care, we absolutely have an amazing staff. And part of this is how we recruit, but it's mainly how we invest in those people. For our approximately 1,200 employees, they benefit from over 60,000 hours annually of clinical and non-clinical training. And much of that training centers on that person-centered philosophy. And by doing that, we feel it creates a positive experience and outcome for our seniors. Something that may sound small, and I talked about this briefly before, is changing the language that we use on a day-to-day basis. Many people who have worked in healthcare are used to using very clinical terms, and we're getting away from that. We're getting back to how you would talk if you were in your own home. So it's not that, you're going to feed somebody. It's instead we're saying that we're assisting them in their dining experience for the day. So, and your listeners may have noticed that we also refer to the older adults in our long-term care area as residents, not patients. I point this out so that people realize that this is a very deliberate effort not to be institutional-like, but to be very person-centered. This ongoing training ensures that our employees hold a common belief that the residents are entitled to self-determination. I remember when I took the culture change class that one of the things that stood out to me was the saying that we don't want to treat our residents how we would like to be treated, but we want to treat our residents how they want to be treated. So let me give you an example of this. If someone would come into our nursing home for a long-term stay, we're going to sit down with them and really get to know them. They may be somebody who worked in the theater all of their lives, and they might have started out their day at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, and then were up until 2 or 3 in the morning. Well, that person is not going to want to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning for breakfast and then start their day out ready to go. I mean, they're going to want to ease into their morning by getting up at maybe 10 or 11, having maybe a piece of toast and a cup of tea, and just kind of easing into that day before they get started. They
you
might
know, Rob, like when you come, we're going to have to work away.
Yeah, I will be there.
We'll just for you.
Make a note, baking cookies for the holidays on December the 3rd at Westminster out in Oakmont. And I am, believe me, it is going to be my honor to be there. And you're doing me a favor more than I'm doing you a favor. I can't wait to spend some time with those residents. Anyway, you were saying.
Sorry.
They're going to be very excited to see you, Rob.
It's a big day for me. It's like a date night. I can't wait. All right, go ahead.
It's talking to the residents and saying, what do you prefer to be called? Jim, James, Jimmy. When does your family visit? What are your favorite likes and dislikes as far as food goes? What irritates you? We'll make sure we don't do that too. What do you like to do? If you don't like to do anything and you kind of want to be left alone and maybe only do one or two things, well, we can do that too. Or if you're like me and you want to be involved in every single thing that goes on, we can do that too. We take a look at also what's ailing you. Are you hard of hearing? Do you require dentures? Those sorts of things. And just basically, how do you like to live your life? You know, what do you want to do every day? And we try and make that happen.
You know, it's amazing how you really have this down to a science, but it makes so much sense.
It does.
Talking about shavers, whether they be electric or not. I mean, that's important to everyone's life. And little things like that mean so much, like that favorite toothbrush, that favorite razor, typical type of soap, particular softness of your towel when in your bathroom. All of that plays a part in who you are as an individual.
Right. And it's not only that, but it's getting to know who the individual is. You know, what was their occupation before they moved in? Where did they live? You know, our housekeepers will look at these cards, you know, and our dining services people, and they'll talk to them throughout the day, you know, about things. Maybe they live in their same neighborhood and knew the same people, or, you know, knew someone that worked with them. So it's a way to connect with them and keep them, you know, kind of involved in what their previous life was and where they can go from here.
But the more you communicate, I'm sure, from your staff with these residents, you realize how we have so much in common.
Absolutely.
And it just makes
it's a learning experience every day.
It is. We're going to come back. We're going to talk much more to Joyce and to Stacy. This is Pittsburgh Works, and I cannot thank them enough for, you know, coming here as they have in recent weeks and, you know, telling us all about what they do. And it's pretty amazing stuff, and it really is an honor to have them here today. They'll be here until 10 o'clock. Stacy Borneman, President, Senior Care, Presbyterian Senior Care, Senior Director of Sales and Marketing. Also, Joyce Wagner, Presbyterian Senior Care, Director of Admissions. We'll be back on Pittsburgh Works in a couple of minutes. David Singer with your headlines in a few minutes as well at 9:30.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA.
This is Pittsburgh Works on our Saturday, November 9th morning edition. Nan Cohen will be here today at noon dealing with divorce. But today we're talking to the folks about skilled nursing at Presbyterian Senior Care. And in this hour, it's Stacy Borneman, Presbyterian Senior Care, Senior Director of Sales and Marketing, and Joyce Wagner, Presbyterian Senior Care, Director of Admissions. Let's get back to continuity of your staff. Joyce.
Yes, that's something very important to us is continuity of staff. It really does make the neighborhood feel like a neighborhood. If you're seeing the same people every day, your neighbors, your people that you work with every day, it goes from, you know, the housekeepers, the dining services staff, the recreation staff, to the care aides and the nurses as well. It really benefits not only the residents by making it, you know, really family-like atmosphere, but it also benefits our staff as well because by having a continuity of staff, they get to know the residents, they get to anticipate their needs. That makes their day a whole lot easier rather than just answering call bells. They know that Mr. Smith down the hall likes to have a milkshake at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So rather than waiting for him to ask for it, they can just deliver it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. He's happier, they're happier. So it makes a really nice working environment to be able to do that.
I'm going to Mr. Smith's place at 3 o'clock. Boy, that's what you call royal treatment. All right, go ahead.
So in within each neighborhood and this continuity of staff, we find who might be the best leader for that neighborhood. And then that leader will hold neighborhood meetings once a week. And during those meetings, the not only the staff, but also the residents and their family members come together. And we talk about what might need to change in that neighborhood for the week, anything special that we might be celebrating that week, birthdays, anniversaries, those sorts of things. Just getting to know each other and what people's wants and needs are. And that leader doesn't have to be who the supervisor is on the floor. It can be a resident. We have one of our residents lead the gardens. We have had, you know, our housekeepers lead in our different neighborhoods. So it can be anybody that wants and shows themselves to be a leader.
You know, in addition, Joyce, to the nurse, can you expand upon some of the other roles involved in the skilled nursing community?
Sure. Basically, in skilled nursing communities, there are three different types of staff: administration, support personnel, and direct care staff. The direct care staff includes nurses, RNs, LPNs, social workers, recreation directors, CNAs, care aides, as well as a host of rehabilitation therapists, from physical, occupational, and speech therapists. And then our support personnel would be maintenance, dining, and housekeeping. But each role, each person that works there is part of a team, and no team member is any less important than another team member. And all really embrace the philosophy of person-centered care.
All right, back to Stacey Borneman now. Stacey, can you tell us about how skilled nursing communities are beginning to serve a different purpose than they used to?
Absolutely. First, I'd like to make sure that our listeners understand that skilled nursing communities are actually licensed medical facilities. And the term medical is a key distinction between a skilled nursing community and an assisted living or a personal care community. A second difference is that skilled nursing communities are actually inspected and licensed by the Pennsylvania Department of Health, whereas assisted living and personal care communities are inspected and licensed by Pennsylvania Department of Welfare. We often get questions about what are the differences and how can we compare the two. A third difference is that the skilled nursing communities must meet both state and federal regulations. This means skilled nursing communities are slightly more highly regulated than assisted living or personal care communities, which must adhere only to state regulations. The last distinction is that there is a third-party reimbursement. So Medicare for a short time and Medicaid, for the most part, will provide certain coverage for skilled nursing care for individuals who qualify based on income. So going back to your question, how are skilled nursing communities beginning to serve a different purpose? Well, what's happening in our region and what's happening all across the country is that skilled nursing communities have evolved into settings that are providing care at two different ends of the residential long-term care spectrum. First, skilled nursing communities continue to maintain their traditional role of providing long-term services for frail individuals who often have no other care alternative. That's what we've talked about a little bit earlier, which is typically what we refer to as the long-term stay resident, typical what we refer to as nursing communities. And we're providing care to those individuals on average for 200 days of care. At Presbyterian Senior Care, we're seeing that our longer stay residents are coming to us much frailer and with greater needs. So those residents that are staying with us, their average age is about 85 to 87 years old. On the other end of the spectrum, however, of skilled nursing care, you'll find a growing population who are typically discharged from the hospital and require short stays, and they're ready to be with us for a short period of time and then get right back to home. These short stay post-hospital patients are in skilled nursing communities, and their stay with us is just about 20 days. So you can see it's quite the difference. And your listeners are probably reading or hearing news about healthcare reform and the pressures that are on providers to reduce that length of stay as much as possible, and the need to reduce the hospital readmission rate. This is not only affecting acute providers, such as hospitals, but it's also impacting long-term care providers, such as skilled nursing communities. And what's likely is that nursing communities will be faced with pressure to change and compete with new models of alternative ways to meet the needs of both post-acute care or short-stay patients, as well as those with chronic care needs, which are the older, frailer adults who require 24 hours care of nursing.
Stacey, how about giving us an example of what you mean when you say new models? What's that mean?
Well, an example of a new model is how Presbyterian Senior Care is transforming how we meet the needs of those short stay patients. And this is happening on two fronts. So the first is how we are transforming the care experience for the short-term stay patient. The second, I'm going to let Joyce jump in and speak a little bit about later, is how we're working differently to support the healthcare professionals to reduce hospital readmissions. So Rob, for short stay, we use the term patient and not resident. And that's because the individual's goals and our care approach is very different for the short stay than it is for what a skilled nursing community does to meet the needs on the other end of the spectrum for a long-term stay services for frailer adults with 24-hour nursing care on an ongoing basis. A short-stay patient is one who's undergone surgery for something such as maybe a joint replacement or post-fracture or maybe post-spinal surgery, or they may have other conditions that require physical therapy, occupational therapy, or speech therapy. But truly, these individuals are persons who need to get back up on their feet quickly and in the most efficient way and back to their lifestyle as quickly as possible. And compared to a long-term resident whose age, as I mentioned, is maybe 85 to 87, these typical short-term stay persons, patients, are anywhere from their 50s to their 70s, and they're fairly healthy and living active lifestyles. So they're expecting a much different care experience from us. And thinking about this, this led us to rethink and transform both our care approach and the physical environment for the short stay rehab patient. Much like the kind of look and services that you would see in a hotel world, we have taken a hospitality approach to accommodate this new generation of patients. So for example, at the Willows, where Joyce works every day in Oakmont, we have dedicated our entire first floor neighborhood to our rehab services. This means that the short-term stay patient who have similar desires and goals are less likely to be dispersed among our long-term stay population who they might have less in common with, just really based on age and their goals. So this means that they have easy access to our rehab suite and the opportunity for greater mobility to take advantage of our lobby and outdoor areas, inspiring that feeling of independence and that they're going to be getting home as soon as possible, in maybe 20 days or even under, for a speedy recovery. The short-term stay rooms in our lobby have undergone major upgrades with nice carpeting rather than linoleum floors, softer lighting, home furnishings, flat-screen televisions in every room. And gone are the days of the slips of paper where you come in on your first day and you have to pick your menu today for what you might want to eat for 10 days in advance. So every day you have, instead you have a real dining experience with a menu, and that day you can decide what it is that you want to eat, much like you go to the restaurant every day for dinner. And if you would like to dine with others in the formal dining room, you're welcome to do so. Or if you prefer to have a more private experience and have in-room dining services, you're more than welcome to do so. So basically, we've tried to create a more hospitable environment, much more comparable to a hotel stay. And all of our staff are trained. Joyce talked a lot about the training of staff and how much time we undergo, not just for care and services, but also the hospitality environment is key in this area. So that's how we've transformed the care experience for our short-term stay for rehab, which is about new and different for the consumer experience.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about transformation of how you work with healthcare professionals and what you're doing to help support the need to reduce hospital readmissions. And Joyce will jump in on that when we continue with our friends from Presbyterian Senior Care today. This is Pittsburgh Works, and I hope that you'll come back and spend a couple of more segments with our guests today, Stacey Borneman, Presbyterian Senior Care Senior Director of Sales and Marketing, and Joyce Wagner, Presbyterian Senior Care Director of Admissions. We'll be right back.
These are the people who make Pittsburgh work. This is Pittsburgh Works on the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA.
Yeah, it's the morning edition of Pittsburgh Works Presbyterian Senior Care. As you heard, Nan Cohen will be here. And joining us today will be attorney Laura Cohen. We'll be dealing with divorce with Nan Cohen. She is divorce reality expert in the noon hour. But back to our guest, Stacey Borneman, Presbyterian Senior Care Senior Director of Sales and Marketing, and Joyce Wagner, Presbyterian Senior Care Director of Admissions. And as we said, going to the break of Pittsburgh Works, we wanted to talk about the transforming that you do working with healthcare professionals and how you support the need to reduce hospital readmissions. Joyce?
Thanks, Rob. Before we even started thinking about renovations or changes to the care experience, we did a market study several years ago. And from that, we really learned that there was quite a need for rehabilitation bids in the region. And we also took time to survey hospitals and doctors to get their input on how to better support a speedy recovery, but yet how to avoid those hospital readmissions. One thing that we did have is our therapists started to offer sessions 7 days a week instead of five. And a second step we took was to improve the process for follow-up once a patient is discharged back to their home. For example, every resident or patient receiving Medicare will get four follow-up phone calls after they're discharged from our skilled nursing community. At the time of discharge, we're very specific about when these calls will be made. And as a reminder, we provide each person with a refrigerator magnet that we write down the actual dates and times that they can expect the follow-up calls. For the past 3 months, we've been looking at the feedback that we got from our first follow-up calls, which is made the first 24 hours after the discharge from our community. On the question of whether or not that this person feels that following their discharge instructions, are they still following them? 97% that they said that they were still following their discharge instructions. And what this tells us is that our discharge planners are really doing a very good job of informing people of what to do when they get home so that they continue to be on the mend. On the question of whether or not that they have all the medications that were listed on their discharge form, 90% said yes. And although 90% is good, it also means that this might be an area where we need to look into further. You know, would all obviously like to see 100% there. And knowing that 10% of those individuals may not have medications that they need really could affect our outcomes of sending people back to the hospital. So what we've learned so far from this is that while sometimes we can't provide more than 24-hour doses to people of medication to people when they leave based on insurance limitations, we can try and find new ways to facilitate the medication delivery post-discharge to patients, maybe following up sooner to find out if they're able to get to the drugstore for refills, do they have their prescriptions that they need for that medication, et cetera.
Hey, just let me interject this before we get too far along and when the hour is up, and I'll give it to you again, but if you want to learn more about Presbyterian Senior Care or make donations to help them fund charitable care, you can go to their website, which is srcare.org. Go ahead, Joyce.
Thanks, Rob. One final thing that I want to mention about this data is that we're seeing that the length of stay for our residents is getting much smaller. We talked about how much the resident or the patient wants to have a speedy recovery and get back home, but the healthcare system also wants those people to get home quickly. And by us being able to improve our services and reduce this number, it's also saving all of us money in insurance costs in the long run. At our skilled nursing community in Southmont in Washington, they're actually participating in a partnership with the Jewish Healthcare Foundation and the Washington Hospital on a model of care designed to reduce unplanned hospital readmissions after their skilled nursing stay. And while I don't have the specifics on that partnership yet in their outcomes, we do know that Presbyterian Senior Care skilled nursing communities as a whole have significantly less readmissions to the hospital than the national average. So obviously we are trending in the right direction there.
I'm all about tips. Tips are a good thing. So Let's give the listeners some tips on how to select the right skilled nursing community for their needs or the needs of a family member.
Sure. One of the things I think is most important is just where do you feel comfortable? What makes you feel comfortable when you walk in to that nursing community? It could be, you know, is the location close to where the patient lives? Are visitors going to be able to visit because it's conveniently located to them? And how do you feel when you walk in? Some people may, you know, live in the country all of their lives and really not feel comfortable in, you know, a really modern type community. So, you know, where are they going to feel most comfortable? Most importantly, though, is observe the staff and their interactions with the residents. Are they being kind? Are they taking time, you know, out of their day to talk with them? Are they being courteous and responsive to them? And, you know, are they calling the residents by their names? You know, what kind of activities do they have? If I'm a person that likes to be involved in a lot, are they going to offer me what I want to do while I'm there? For some of our residents, religion is also very important, so they may want to look at a faith-based community. And also the rooms. What's a typical room look like? Is there enough space for me? Is it comfortable and inviting to me? Is the dining experience pleasant, or am I going to be rushed through and taken back to my room? Do I feel comfortable and invited there? Can I bring family and friends to dine with me as well? Is the community clean? What does it cost? Are their basic charges covered? Are there going to be additional charges that my insurance is not going to pay for? And what are the medical professionals like? Do they have dentists, podiatrists, optometrists that come there? You know, what's the arrangement with the local hospital? How are prescriptions delivered? And you know, probably for our short-term residents, the most important for them is how is your physical therapy and occupational therapy departments?
What about some stories in the final few minutes here with Presbyterian Senior Care in Pittsburgh Works that you might want to share, Joyce or Stacy, about the residents or patients that are benefiting from their stay in your skilled nursing communities?
Sure. Well, I think what shows the success of our short-term stay right now is I have actually had several people that have received knee surgery that were planning their next knee surgery and scheduled ahead of time with me for their next knee surgery. So I think that shows that people are really pleased with their care there and do want to come back for more. So
it's a good thing. I think we might have time in just a couple of minutes. What about some other types of credentials that our listeners should know about that can help them in choosing a skilled nursing community? And again, to learn more, folks, go to srcare.org.
Sure. We're very proud of what in our industry is kind of considered the good housekeeping seal of approval that we received from the Commission on Accreditation of Rehabilitation Facilities, which is the acronym CARF, and the Continuing Care Accreditation Commission, which goes by the acronym CCAC. So consumers and the public should look for places that are CARF CCAC accredited, and that really helps to assure that the provider is striving to have the highest quality of services. Also in 2006, Presbyterian Senior Care became the first aging services network in Pennsylvania and the third and largest in the nation to receive accreditation from CARF CCAC. That's an important takeaway because this is a voluntary thing that we sign up to do. It does cost us and it takes a lot of time and money to be involved with this, but it is certainly a learning process for us and does show that we value quality.
All right, listen to Joyce Wagner, who has joined us today, Presbyterian Senior Care Director of Admissions, and Stacy Borneman, Presbyterian Senior Care Senior Director of Sales and Marketing. Thanks. You guys did a great job. Come back again, okay?
Thanks, Rob.
All right, Nick, start to preheat the oven. I'll be there. Just December the 3rd, we're doing some holiday baking with the good folks out there at Westminster and Oakmont. I want to give you the website again one more time. It's srcare.org, srcare.org. And again, thanks to the people at Presbyterian Senior Care for joining us today on Pittsburgh Works.